the man everybody wants a piece of around the NFL, especially here in Philadelphia, with his name buzzing about and different running backs' names being thrown all over the place. We have Adam Schefter, and he is brought to you by the great people. Adam Schefter, of course, brought to you by Recovery Centers of America. They're here to help you and your loved one break the horrific cycle of alcoholism. Call 1-800-RECOVERY or visit devonrecoverycenters.com. On the line with us from ESPN, Mr. Adam Schefter. Adam, good morning, man.
Good morning, Mark, Trey, and Bob. How you guys doing?
Doing awesome. Let me start off by saying this. I have met you one time in my life. You could not have been a bigger gentleman. It was at the Hall of Fame game. You did a game for NBC at the time, sideline reporting. I believe you were helping out Andrea Kramer at another commitment, and you were just a fantastic guy to work with, so thank you for that.
How did we meet there, Mark? What was the occasion that you were in Canton, Ohio?
What the hell were you doing there is what Shefty said.
I broke in and I was the guy that bear hugged you, and then I was escorted out by security. No, I was working on the production team for NBC's production crew.
Oh, how about that? See, that was actually when I was at NFL Network at the time. My contract was coming up, and I honestly thought that my next job was going to be as a sideline reporter. Maybe even for NBC. I thought that was possible. And the circumstances of my situation made it such that it did not become possible, unfortunately, because I had so much fun doing that, and I loved doing that, and it was great fun, and it never materialized. But that was a great night, and I always remember that. You know, there aren't many times professionally. It's only happened to me a couple of times. And the two times I can remember were the first time I ever did sports reporters with Mitch Albom and Mike Lupica and Bob Ryan, and they came to me for my first parting shot, and I could feel the adrenaline from my toes to my head. I've never felt like the blood pulsating through my body, because it was a show that I had always watched my entire career, and now I was getting a chance to do it. And the other time was when John Madden and Al Michaels are thrown to you on the sideline for the first time. You're like, oh my God, like two living legends.
Yeah.
And you could just feel I could feel my heart pounding out of my chest.
I'm sure that's what a thrill. It's a shame nothing else worked out for you, man. What have you been up to? You are the man that everybody wants to talk to right now, especially in Philadelphia, because we have no idea what's going to happen. I'm all in on Le'Veon Bell, but then all of a sudden this report comes out of Buffalo that the Eagles made a call to Buffalo to try to get LeSean McCoy at least kick the tires. What do you know about that?
Well, listen. First and foremost, I think Philadelphia is always going to be very aggressive with every player, and it's always going to be checking in with teams. There are probably 20 other players that we could say the same thing about. Oh, they checked in with this team on that player and this team with that player. They're constantly doing that. That's their job to do that. If they weren't doing that, they wouldn't be doing their jobs. Now, would LeSean McCoy hold appeal? I would think that he would. Okay, now, does that mean anything gets done? It is way too early to say. It is October 10th, I believe, and the NFL trade deadline is 3 weeks from yesterday. Buffalo is still winning games. Buffalo still believes that it's going to make a run here, I think. Now, we all could disagree, and we all don't think that, and if Buffalo loses the next couple of games, if you're an Eagles fan, I think you want the Bills to lose the next couple of weeks to sink their position, to get them in a mood where they might be willing to deal with Sean McCoy at that point. Would Philadelphia have interest then? I would think it would. Why wouldn't it? Mm-hmm. But I just think it's just a little premature right now to say that there's something going on between those two teams. I mean, I don't believe that's the case where they're in hot and heavy talks at all. I'm sure there might have been the exploratory call, but that's just the Eagles doing their job here.
The old kick in the tires, as we talked to Adam Schefter of ESPN. So how about your tweet, Fletcher Cox? They move money around, Adam, to alleviate some cap, give us some cap relief. Is there anything else that you see happening with the Eagles in terms of adding a running back? Any other name out there that you see as a likely candidate to be a new number one back, or at least an addition to the Eagles' backfield?
Oh, look, from the moment that JGI was lost for the season, I think people were wondering, oh, Le'Veon Bell and the Eagles. And I'm not going to tell you it's not going to happen, but I don't believe that's going to happen. There's nothing that's really gone on there to make you think that Philadelphia is going to trade for Le'Veon Bell, pay him all the money. They cleared out all that salary cap space by converting Fletcher Cox's contract. They did not do that with the idea to go trade for Le'Veon Bell. And, oh, by the way, LeSean McCoy is much less money than Le'Veon Bell would cost. But even if they're trading for Bell or McCoy or you name the back, the reason that they restructured Cox was to create all this cap room the next 2 years with young guys coming up that they want to redo and restructure. Keep in mind, at some point in time, you have to pay Carson Wentz here, and the sooner you do that, probably the better. So there are a lot of guys that they want to get done, but that restructure was not done in any way, shape, or form with Le'Veon Bell in mind.
Do you see a deal for Le'Veon Bell, Adam, as being something with the Eagles that would be a franchise-crippling deal?
Well, I'll say this. Number one, I don't see a deal between Le'Veon Bell and the Eagles. Number two, I don't know that the Steelers would be able to make a trade with anybody, and it would take an injury. But even then, I think other teams' mindsets would be a lot like the Eagles. Okay, you're trading for Le'Veon Bell. You're absorbing a guy 6-7 weeks into the season and still going to have to pay him $9-10 million, which some teams might not be willing to do, when he doesn't know your system, when you don't know what kind of shape he's in, when you're going to lose him after the season, when, as one GM said to me over the last week, the guy is a soft tissue injury waiting to happen right now, not having gone through the offseason program, training camp, for the first part of the season. How many times have we seen that? A player come in after an extended holdout, and up, there's his hamstring. Up, there's his calf. Up, there's his quad. Mm-hmm. So there's risk in that, and it's a $9-10 million risk that I don't think a lot of teams would be willing to take. And, again, it's a tough trade to get done for anybody, but I do not see that trade happening with the Philadelphia Eagles.
So who do you think that – who is on the list that you think that we can go after?
Well, I'll say this to you. Like, again, when that report comes out of Buffalo that the Eagles have checked in on LeSean McCoy, I promise you, there are multiple players that the Eagles have checked in on, okay? That's, again, what they're supposed to be doing. That's their job. And you don't know who's going to be willing to deal who at this point in time. But that's the beauty and intrigue at this time of year. Look, you would not have thought on October 10th, 2017, that the Miami Dolphins were going to be willing to trade Jay Ajayi, and they did. Okay, you would not have thought the Dolphins would have been willing to trade Jarvis Landry, and there were people who thought they would, and eventually they did in the offseason. So, again, it's sometimes a function of who's out of contention in late October, and it's sometimes a function of who's got young players that they want to have an opportunity for. So there's a lot of different circumstances. Even if I gave you names now, some of those names might be different 2 weeks from now about guys that the Eagles would target and who they'd be interested in. But there are players that they're constantly checking out. That's what they're supposed to be doing.
Shefty, real quick, the Giants, we heard Pat Shurmur come out and try to, diffuse what's going on with OBJ and all that stuff. But on the field also, they're not a very good football team right now. So altogether, in a nutshell, what is that team all about right now going into tomorrow night's game?
Well, I think that they're struggling in a couple of different areas. And I think it starts up front with the offensive line, which technically should be an advantage for Philadelphia with its strong defensive line. The offensive line has really struggled to protect the quarterback, which has not allowed him to have the time, which has allowed him to force balls and not throw deeper. Now, they played a better game on Sunday against the Carolina Panthers. They looked energized. Whether that had anything to do with Odell Beckham Jr.'s comments or not, we don't know. But they certainly looked energized at that point in time. You know, listen, it's just interesting, right? If you go back to the draft where they took Ereck Flowers, they took him with a 9th overall pick. The 10th overall pick that year, one pick later, was the Rams and Todd Gurley. Now, if the Giants had taken Todd Gurley with that pick, now last year they're sitting there at the top of the draft, they go take a quarterback. And so the Giants might have in their backfield today, I'm just making this up, Sam Darnold and Todd Gurley, as opposed to Eli Manning and Saquon Barkley. And it's just interesting the different fates that literally one selection can dictate, and how one selection can set back a franchise or move it ahead or certainly change and alter the course of direction that a franchise takes into the future.
Adam, last thing for you as we speak with Adam Schefter. If you weren't breaking stories all the time, what would Adam Schefter be doing?
I would be Matthew Berry for the NBA. I would be an NBA fantasy guru. That's what I would try to be. I'm not qualified to do very much, Mark and Bobby. And so I mean, I might apply for a job bussing tables, a barista in a coffee shop might be pretty good.
Nice.
But there aren't many skills that I have in life other than basically being on my phone, making calls, and badgering people.
The great Adam Schefter, thank you so much for joining us. I can't wait to talk to you again next week.
Mark, Trey, Bob, have a great week. And Bob, text me some fantasy NBA sleepers.
You got me. I'll text you later on today, buddy. You got it.
Right. Yeah, the fantasy NBA guru needs some pointers and help you.
I got you covered.
The great Adam Schefter, thanks so much. We appreciate you coming on. What a guy.